for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. I hope everybody had a good weekend. Well, let's see. We have on today's schedule about 16 vessels. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for winds in effect through this afternoon. That means 20 to 34 knots are possible. And today we're going to talk about some things related to rescues and, well, kind of a riddle I have for you. When might it be okay for the Coast Guard to sink a life raft? Something to think about there while we're talking about ship schedules. And actually, there are times when that is a very important and wise thing to do, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. In our ship schedule, we have two inbounders. We have eight in the Astoria anchorage. We have four at Rice Island, upriver from Astoria, anchored there. And we have a couple of outbounders that I know about heading downriver and out to sea. So things may change during the day with this ship schedule. In our inbounders, we have the LMZ Phoebe. She's arriving from Japan, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. You can see those ships, and it looks like there's just a heck of a lot of ships in the Astoria anchorage when you see a bunch here and a bunch here. By here, I mean in Astoria's downtown. And then you look upriver a little bit, and you see more ships there. But actually, there's a separate designated anchorage area a little bit off Tongue Point that is called the Rice Island anchorage. So there are four vessels there, and well, in the Astoria anchorage off the downtown waterfront, let's talk about those first. We have the Star Jennifer headed for Kalama today to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. She's leaving around 3 p.m., probably arriving in Kalama about 5 hours later, so about 8 p.m. That leaves the Vamos, the Star Markella, the Imabari Queen, the Andes Queen, the Sari Inda, the Sagar Shakti, and the Lang Chow. And some of those vessels have been out there now for a couple of weeks. They are awaiting the opportunity to head upriver to pick up cargo. So things that could be slowing them down, we have had a lot of ships on the schedule lately, is that there are vessels occupying the berths that they need to go to, and so they need to wait for those vessels to clear out before they can head upriver. At Rice Island, we have the Stella Eva awaiting orders, along with the Istria, Theodore Oldendorf, and the SBI Carioca. And in our outbounder, so far what I know about today is the Bright Ocean, leaving Kalama with wheat on board at about 10 a.m., maybe passing Astoria outbound around 3 p.m., the Ocean Jorf leaving Longview carrying soda ash at about 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5:30 p.m. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 10 to 15 knots, rising to 20 to 25 knots in the morning, then becoming northwest 15 to 20 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the north, 3 feet at 5 seconds, west swell 7 feet at 11 seconds apart, and rain is likely early in the morning. But right now, looking out the window at about 9 o'clock here at the Tillicum House in Astoria at Coast Community Radio Studios, it's looking pretty nice out there, a little bit of blue sky. Well, today I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of referencing, excuse me, a story that I read over the weekend about the Coast Guard attempting to do a search and kind of deciding whether they should do a search when they found a life ring floating in the water with no identification on it. So this brings up a topic that most people don't think about, which is having identification on the stuff that's on your boat. And if you have a tiny boat, like a kayak or a canoe, having something on it that identifies it as yours. So this life ring is there. They don't have any idea what vessel it fell off of. So they can't look up the vessel, call the owners and say, did you lose a life ring? If no one has reported a vessel missing, they're kind of in the position of having a clue, but not enough information to really help them find you. So this is what I'm talking about today, is sort of about helping the Coast Guard help you. So, you know, small boats that aren't like kayaks and canoes aren't required to be registered like larger boats. So other boats have registration numbers, and you can see those numbers on them. If you have a life ring, you might want to put your boat's name on it, so if it falls overboard, they can look you up. But in the case of, you know, often, well, sometimes in rescues, the Coast Guard will find an empty kayak floating. Now, they don't know whether it fell off somebody's boat, whether it got washed off the beach, whether someone fell out of it and is in trouble. And so this is an area where if you simply put some identification on your own equipment, really your outdoor equipment, it would go a long way toward helping you and helping them find um, find you. So here's how the Coast Guard sort of looks for people. They'll hear a distress signal, often on VHF radio, an EPIRB will go off. They'll go to the area and they'll look for physical cues like a canoe, a kayak, a life raft, some kind of debris in the water, an oil sheen. This gives them an idea of how to project things like current and drift and wind and where someone might be from the place where something happened. So they're doing a lot of projecting and extrapolating from that data to find out where you might be. Now, when it comes to the issue of life rafts, I learned this from a Coast Guard rescue swimmer that I interviewed. It's many years ago now. But we were talking about what they do. You know, Coast Guard rescue swimmers, for instance, are dropped out of a helicopter into the water. They drop about 15 feet. There's a downdraft of 100 miles an hour from the propeller. So a person has to have a great deal of presence of mind and training to do this kind of work. But say they're dropped in the water near a life raft. They get the people out of the life raft one by one. They know that they've got everyone they can get. Now there's a life raft in the water that they probably are not going to be able to take aboard that helicopter and take the life raft with them because it just isn't feasible. So what do they do? In that case, the rescue swimmer said, well, I always have a knife on me. It's part of my gear. I puncture the life raft so it will sink so that that life raft will not show up somewhere else where the Coast Guard will start looking all over again for people who aren't there. So this is just an interesting little something to think about as you are a boater out there on the water, that when you drop something overboard, if it floats, it could become the center of a rescue effort. And if there's no labeling on it, you could cause an unnecessary search, because if they think that there is something going on there, they're going to look for you even if you aren't there. So, when you identify your gear and yourself out there, it makes it easier for somebody to know where you are, where they might find you. Another really good thing to do related to this whole topic is filing what they call a plan of, I forget the exact term, but it's a plan of your day. Let somebody know where you're going. A float plan in the case of a boat. Flight plan if you were in an airplane. But it just lets somebody know, and even one friend, that if you end up missing, somebody knows that you went out kayaking in Brownsmead, or you went out kayaking by Pier 39, or you went to Lewis and Clark, so that they would know where to start looking for you. So this is all about being mindful and being mindful that something might go wrong, and you might need the help of that one friend that you said, oh, by the way, Sunday I'm going out kayaking on the Lewis and Clark River, and then Monday morning you don't show up for work. That friend might save your life from that one piece of information that you remember to give them. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day and a safe day.